Okay, we're learning Yechezkel Perek Yud Daled, and these are where the elders ask Yechezkel for advice. V'yavoi elai anoshim mizikne Yisrael v'yishvu lefanoi. The elders of Israel came to me. This doesn't mean the land of Israel, because he's in Bavel. The elders of the people of Israel came to me for advice. Read v'yavoi Hashem elai lemor. God told me to respond as follows. Ben Adam. האנשים האלה העלו גילוליהם על ליבם, ומכשול אבונם נשנו נוכח פניהם, הידרוש ידרש להם. Another Yechezkelism, הידרוש. We've seen many such words so far. So Hashem came to him to say that these men have idols in their hearts. In other words, they didn't actually make idols.
Okay.
But the Zohar is in their hearts. You don't have to make an idol to violate their second
like
Mitzvahs and Dibros. Could be. And there is a stumbling block right in their faces, this iniquity of theirs, this avon of theirs. Should I be inquired of from them? What is it? These people are so wicked, and yet they come for an oracle, they come for advice. I don't want to have my spirit rest upon such people, right? Mm-hmm. You think, well, you're going to chase them away. You know, you'll say, well, okay, see, I'm trying to get back to God. He goes, no, you're not. If you would want to try to get back to God, get rid of those gilulim first. Have your gilulim in the arts. I don't even want to be seen as being addressed by these people. So we tell me something. I need some help here.
Lachen daber atam v'amarta aleim. Kol amar Adonai Elokim. Ish ish mibet Yisrael asher ya'aleh et gilulav el libo u'mechshol avono yasim. Nocha panav uva el hanavi ani Hashem na'aniti lo v'avero gilulav.
Okay, so this is the answer you should give them. Anyone from the house of Israel comes to receive my advice, to get to an oracle, right? And they come to the Navi. This is a Navi Emes. They want to come to receive a true oracle from God. Right? Ani Hashem na'anesi lo ba berov gilulav. Now, he's saying that I will answer him, but I'll answer him through his idols. In other words, it's not going to be a true answer. It's going to be, you know, when you, it sounds like him, yo, v'yelchu achrei ha-hevel, v'yehebalu. You go after hevel, you become hevel. Interesting kind of verb, to hevelize. Right? So he says, l'man tifos es beis Yisrael b'libam, asher nozor me'alai b'gileyem kulam. It's a little rhyme here, right? Prophets sometimes speak with rhyme. Okay? The Gemara in Kiddushin of the Flamen Tes learns from this pasuk that Avodah Zarah does not need an action to be violation. You could, Avodah Zarah is in your head, right? Usually the Torah prohibits your actions, not your inclinations. Someone has an inclination towards sinning, that's not a sin, as long as he holds on to it. That person may be more praiseworthy. That person may be more praiseworthy for not acting out on his kleptomania than someone else. But when he stands before the heavenly bar of justice, maybe Hashem will understand him more because of those profound inclinations that he had. But when he stands before the earthly bar of justice, society needs to be protected from the person. If he's a predator against children, he can't. Use his defense that I'm sorry, it's my just inclination. I know it's wrong, but I can't help myself. Right? So that's the just felt like saying a bracha. So that's what he's saying here. Right? If their hearts still move in that direction, they'll be turned away. They will not receive me. You do love, please, Sheila.
Lachin Mara Beit Israel, Kalam Rahashim Alakim, Shuvu Bahashiva Mayal Gilalechem.
If you want to receive the divine, you must first be rid of these trespasses. It's like going to the mikveh with an insect in your hand. Right?
What's that?
What happens if you go to the mikveh with an insect in your hand? You say, I'm going to the mikveh. I'm trying to purify myself. But the second you walk out of the mikveh, the insect in your hand is going to make you tummy again. It's going to make you impure again. So these people are making the attempt, making the outer trappings of seeking God. But what's the point? People who go, say a couple of, Baruch Baruch Shemos, while they're behaving like Shemos, you know, so...
Besides, I think we get emailed during davening.
These things can ruin that's the message of most of the Nevi'im Achronim. Your scrupulous attention to the detail of the sacrificial order means nothing in the face of your ill behavior. Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay, so... Ki ish ish mi beis Yisrael me'ager asher yagur bi Yisrael v'inozer me'acharav yahav gilulav elipo mechshol avano yosim no'chach panav uvol navi lidrosh lo bi ani Hashem nane lo bi. This is sort of like the pasuk that you read before, almost exactly the same. Right? Hashem says, when you want, go speak to the prophet. You don't have to speak to the prophet. I'll answer you. I'll give you the answer you seek. Which is not a good answer, but if you go to the true Navi, right? Shortly, the reason why I keep saying the true Navi, because shortly he's going to mention Navi and it's a false Navi, right? False prophet. So he goes, I'm going to answer him directly. I don't want a Navi to answer him. I'm going to answer him myself. V'nasati panai bo yishahu v'ashimosi la'osan l'sholim l'chutim mitoch ha'mibidatem ken Yashem. I'm going to cut this person down. Okay. And he's using Lashonos in Pasuk Ches that we see expressions that have been made famous in the Tochacha of Devarim. Right? Vashimosiu, Nasati Panai Bo Yishu, every one of the words in this Pasuk, even Laos Ulam Sholim, says you will be at Mishol, Lishnina, right? The whole Pasuk he seems to be borrowing from the Lashonos of the Tochacha, of the rebuke in the Torah. V'hanavi, Pasuk Tess. Kiva, you want to read?
I pair.
Tess? Okay. Want to read in English?
Who's that? Kiva?
Nine.
I can't hear. I didn't hear.
Nine.
Okay. There's no battery hearing it. And if a false prophet is enticed and makes the declaration, I, Hashem, have enticed that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from amid my people Israel. They will bear their iniquity. The inquirer shall be the iniquity of the prophet.
Okay, stop there. So here he's putting the inquirer of the false Navi will have the same punishment as the false Navi. Mm-hmm. You see, what happened is that whenever there were times of great affliction and great pain, we have always had our share of false prophets who said there's nothing to worry about. We could look forward to a better day. Hashem will not let this happen to us. They were saying so in religious terminologies. But they were driving the people away from the real safety that they needed. Remember, was it last week that I compared this to... where we get a false security, and it's worse than no security, because false security means that you're relying on something. If you have no security, maybe you know you have to do some work, you know you have to do something. Right? But sometimes how I feel when you're in the airport and they're making you take off your shoes. I mean, you know, they're randomly attacking. We should see what they did to Esty on our way back from Israel.
Yeah, we were in Frankfurt and they just pulled her aside and they were going over her, up and down.
Reason? Well, because she was number so-and-so and they had to...
No, she had on a ring or something maybe, or a bracelet. I don't know, they couldn't find anything.
I was there.
But it took 10 minutes.
I was with Anne and three kids. And I don't know what followed me. And they take us to a room, a separate room. I said, look, the plane's leaving in about 40 minutes. He says, around here, I control time. We never found out what it was. He just said, let us go. We never knew what it was.
So you look at the people being, you know, and oh, I feel safe on this flight.
That's the Muslims in England
who
are doing the check.
See this?
Oh, really?
I went through the new Homeland Security. I showed it to them. I called a wire cutter. They called a box. Put it in a box. I had a pocket knife in my pocket. Went out. I had the full big search.
You can't go on the plane.
Walked out with this and a pocket knife out of the airplane.
Wow.
They didn't take it. On the way back, they confiscated the pocket knife, but not this.
How recent was this?
About... we went to about 2 months ago.
Really? I'm so surprised.
Oh, they were very upset.
They took away our toothpaste. They took away our...
Eye makeup as well.
That's very good at
doing. I know they made me take off my hat. I was wondering the whole time, did they make the Muslim women take off their...
They weren't there.
So that's what Yechezkel is talking about. He's saying you're superficially making them feel better to full security.
It's the illusion of security.
Which may be worse than no illusion at all. Because you're lulled into a sense of security in which you're off your guard. Anyway, so Pasuk Yud Aleph, Laman lo yisu od beis Yisrael mecharev le'tamu v'chol bishayim. So that you should realize to just change, simply change your ways. Right? And therefore, I will be to you a nation. Okay? And you'll be my people. So, Chazal also learned another very famous klal from this. It says, Habol l'tahir atzmo, misayin lo min ha-shamayim. Habol l'tameu is atzmo, but misayin lo min ha-shamayim. You get that? It's great irony. If someone wants to become pure, God will help you. But if you want to become impure, God will help you do that too.
It's called free will, right?
Okay. There's going to be something quite amazing coming up here. The rest of this chapter. The chapter is going to turn to attempting to gain some degree of merit from our ancestors. God, remember, we're the children of Noach, Daniel, or whatever, Eov, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, maybe. And he brings back some older people. The people he chooses to mention are quite amazing. One of them is going to be a source of great interest for us. So, just to review the first 11 psukim of this chapter, it's that the elders come to ask advice. Yechezkel does not take, let's say, the low ground or the middle ground and say, oh, how wonderful it is that the elders are finally asking me for an oracle and coming to me for advice. He comes down hard on them. Right? V'idvar Hashem elai lemor. Ben Adam. Eretz ki sechto li limomal v'natisi yudi olah v'shavarti l'mate lechem v'shlachti barav v'chirati menu Adam v'hema. If a land has turned against me, and they have trespassed against me, and I turn my hand upon them, and I break them, and I break their source of bread, and I send famine and hunger to their land, both against man and against beast, there is still an opportunity to survive such destruction. And Carol, would you read verse 14 in English?
Then even if these three men would be in its midst, Noah, Daniel, and Job, they, by their righteousness, would save only their own souls. The word of the Lord Hashem Elohim.
Wow, it's amazing. He mentions three well-known righteous people. Noach, very, very clear, right? It's God told him, you're righteous. In fact, Noach is the only person called Tzaddik. to Yosef and Tzadik because of Pesukim and Amos, but he's not directly referring to Yosef. So Noach is called a man because of his tzidkus. He managed to survive, but what did he not do?
Didn't change anyone else.
Didn't get anybody else but himself.
Yeah.
So he's saying things are so bad that even if you had the righteous people like these people, they would only be able to save themselves, not anyone else. Like, Yibicha Shak Ba'Avoteihu. He clings to me, I'll save him, but not anyone else. Right? So that's Noah. What about Eov? All of Eov's family perished, and people close to him perished, but he managed to survive, but wasn't great enough to take anyone with him. Unlike Avraham, who did. Right? And who's Daniel? What is that? Daniel couldn't save what? Daniel was carried off into Golis just like Yechezkel was. So the Gemara says that these three people, Noach, Daniel, and Yov, were in three worlds. A world pre-destruction, destruction, and post-destruction. They lived to see all three of those. Right? Yov lived to see a time where his family did return to him. Right? So Rashi and others say this is the Daniel that's basically Yechezkel's colleague, right? It's hard to imagine. Daniel was quite a bit younger than Yechezkel. Why would he present Daniel? Daniel's not known for his tzidkus, he's known for his chokhmah. Never once is he described as a tzaddik. And why is Daniel this paradigm of the salvation more than Yechezkel himself? Or Mordechai, or I don't know why that gives you tzidkus. Talented, he's smart. But... So I will tell you this. This is radical what I'm about to say. I know I'm on tape. Some say that this is not Daniel. Look how, first of all, look how the name is spelled. Can you pronounce the name?
Daniel.
Daniel, right? Can you pronounce the Daniel in Ksuvim that we know?
Isn't it like the Tzeres and the Rias?
Correct. It's Daniel. Daniel, Daniel. It's Daniel. Who's this guy?
Daniel.
Now, there's no yud here, right? So here is what we're saying. There was a very famous ancient character in Akkadian literature named Daniel. He's very righteous. There is a bit of scholarship that says that Yechezkel was referring to very famous, like a Jack Bunyan kind of, you know, that the people would recognize, even though it was antiquity. But what could be from, you know, William Tell, I don't know, from 500 years ago, 700 years ago. It's a radical opinion, but it's out there. Okay, what would that do with Eov? Eov is also considered a fictitious character by Tanakh, but by Chazal. No, I don't want to go there, but what all three would have in common, though, would be in the pre-Avraham world. Chazal maintained one opinion, Chazal, that Eov was before this, before Avraham, between Noach and Avraham, or at best at the time of the patriarchs. But of antiquity, three characters of antiquity, not considered part of the Jewish people. Noach certainly wasn't. That's what we call B'nai Noach, right? Eov certainly wasn't. And if you put Daniel in that category, is this? His name is Daniel, actually. And he is known for tzidkus, not chokhmah. Okay, these three famous survivors. Okay, Luch Hayro Avir Ba'aretz. If I would bring in wild beasts into the land because there are no people. Now, this pasuk is sort of putting the cart before the donkey or the donkey before the cart. We're not sure. What brings wild beasts to the land?
Desolation.
Desolation of people. This past week's parasha, did you remember? Mm-hmm. said, I'll kick out the Canaanites slowly, slowly, so that you don't, the wild animals don't. And we know that when it did happen, but the Assyrians, they didn't care. Wild animals did come in. The lions came in and chased out the Kutim, remember? So he's saying that I'll bring in the wild animals even while there are people there to kick them away, till the land is desolate. Okay, can you read Tetzayin, Shiloh, please, Ted? Shloshet.
Shloshet ha'ashem ha'ela b'tocha, chaya ani om ha'ashem ha'okim, im banen ve'im banot yatsiru, himel v'adam min ha'tzeo v'ha'aretz tiyash mama.
These people could not even save their children. They would not save young boys or young girls. Themselves. Chapter 16 of Sefer Yirmiyahu, Hashem tells that prophet, do not get married. Any child, including yours, who would be raised in this place, Machlokas and Mephoshim, would place in Israel Adak, very conclusively and very correctly shows that he's talking about Anatot, not Yerushalayim. He's talking about Yirmiyahu's hometown. Any child born in this place will die, including yours, Yirmiyahu. Even you don't have the zchus to save your child. Terrible. O cherev avi al aretz ahiv, amarti cherev ta'avor ba'aretz, v'ichrati b'mena adam v'ema. Or I'll bring the sword. V'shlosh es anashim ha'ele v'socha ha'inin im Hashem elokim, lo yetzilu l'banim uvanos ki'im uvadam yinatzilu. These three men could not even save them from the sword. O devar ha'shalach al aretz ahiv, v'shofach ticha masi ala v'dam l'achris b'mena adam v'ema. V'noch Daniel v'iyo v'socha ha'inin im Hashem, they would only be able to save themselves, not any young child, from the cherev, from the dever, from the ra'ah, from the chayah ra'ah, four different things. Hunger, wild beasts, the sword, and the pestilence. Okay. Yechezkel makes reference to these four. Carol, would you read verse 21?
For thus said Lord Hashem Elohim, how much more when I send all of my four evil judgments, sword, hunger, ferocious beast, and pestilence, against Jerusalem, to cut off from it man and animal.
Okay. According to Abarbanel, these are not four punishments. These are four nations that are going to be sent in the future upon the Jews. Greeks, Romans, sorry, I'm going out of order. Either it's Babylonians, Persians, Greeks, and Romans. Okay. Some have added to that Greeks, Romans, Christians, and Muslims. Whatever it is, but four nations that will come upon us. Right, four sides, a lot of fours. Zechariah has a lot of these also. And Yoel refers to four different types of locusts devouring Israel. And Bravanel says that they refer to four nations. It's very common in apocalyptic prophecies to say those kind of things. Up to number four. Okay. Vine, Shiloh, would you read to Chafez?
והנה נטרה בהפתקה המוצאים בנים ובנות, אינם יוצאים עליכם, וראיתם את דרכם ואת עמלותם, וניחמתם על הרעה אשר הבאתי על ירושלים, את כל אשר הבאתי עליה.
So now he seems to be contradicting what he said all along. He said there will remain a remnant to be brought out from both sons and daughters. I thought he's been saying all along that they're not going to be saved. Yeah, from the initial, those four initial things, but afterwards, there will be a remnant. Here we are. We are them. He's talking about us. And I'll have pity on you. I'll regret what I did. I'll console you. Nichamu eschem ki tiru estar kam esli lo samit atem ki loch chinam asisi. Es kol asher asisi banu mashem elokim. You'll know that I didn't do these things for nothing. It's not like you weren't warned. I did these things by design. It's not haphazard. V'idvar Hashem elai l'mor, Ben Adam, chapter 15, Ma'i ye'itzegefen mikol eitzes mor asher yabatzei yar. Chapter 15 is about a vision of a vine. Okay? The vine does not produce good grapes. It only ends up being good for firewood. It's not what you want to plant a vineyard for. You can use better things for firewood. This prophecy, chapter 15 of Yechezkel, looks very much like, you probably had to memorize it in high school. Do you remember? Chapter 5 of Sefer Yeshayahu. Never had to remember. Ashira Nali Didi Ishir. Many high schools and yeshiva programs make you memorize what's called Shirat HaKerem, Yeshayahu's song to the vineyard by the farmer who put in a lot of effort into the vine, but it only produced raisins. The vine being mankind. God gave us a beautiful garden, and he gave us a wonderful circumstance and situation where we would not have to till the soil so much. We just have to love the Lashon, but there's still some work to do. We were not supposed to eat the bread of shame. But we did not produce our potential. So Thierry refers here to a vineyard whose branches can only be used for firewood. Is there anything to be done with this vine? Lots of things you want to do with a vine, right? It could be decorative, it could be obviously produce food. And instead, it'll not be used for anything but for a fire. It's only good for firewood, for destruction. It can't be used for any positive thing. Please, Vav, Sheila, Lachin.
Lachin, Kormar Hashem Elokim, Kasher Itza Gefen, Ve'itza Yara, Asher Netativ La'esh La'achla, Kein Atati Adush Ve'yushamayim.
Just like I gave great potential for a vineyard to produce good things, but it produced nothing but firewood, so too Bnei Yisrael will be like wood for the fire. Terribly chilling prediction. I'll set my face upon them, meaning against them. Right? It's like going from the fire into the frying pan, you hear that? They'll leave one fire, only to be eaten, devoured by another fire. That could be like if you escape the concentration camp, which is a fire. There are people waiting with wolves and dogs on the other side. If you manage to escape into the countryside, right? Eicha is spoken like this. Amos talks about being saved from the lion, and then it's a bear waiting for you. If you're saved by the bear, there's a poisonous snake waiting for you. It's always so you escape one enemy, there's another enemy waiting for you. When I put my face upon you, you'll know that I wasn't kidding. Okay. When I destroy this land, you'll know because of your trespasses what evil has happened to you. Who should decide that chapter 15 should be 8 verses and chapter 16 should be one of the longest chapters in Tanakh outside of Tehillim? Take a look at it. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop so soon.
Wow. Well, 63
seconds. Right. So, who decides what you're saying? So you may know. I've told you a number of times. It's a bishop, a Christian functionary. They wanted to make it easier to follow biblical verses and to trace things. But chapter 15 does seem to end right here. It is separate from chapter 14, so it's a convenient cut-off. Chapter 16 is about Israel's shameful treachery, and it refers to two sisters. The older sister is the northern tribes. The younger sister is Yehuda. In other words, they saw what the older tribes did. how they were punished, and they still nonetheless went in the same path. Start with chapter 16.